I just want to give an update to where we've been the last 2 weeks. This is a Thanksgiving series. And the whole point and the whole thought of the series is that supernatural things happen when you give thanks to God and praise Him for everything and in everything. Find this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's in a series of imperatives that the Scripture says that we're to walk in and we're to do. It's very important when you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 and the context of it. So if you'll just look on the screen and you'll see 16, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16. Rejoice always. Now let's say this. That is an imperative. It's a command, okay? It's not just something that you might can do or might want to do. It is what he's saying. You rejoice always. Next passage, pray without ceasing. Do you get what he's saying? Always, without ceasing. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to have a spirit of prayer all the day, all day long. Just a constant thought of just God's just right there. And yeah, I'm doing other stuff and I'm thinking about other things. But as I practice the presence of God, I want to pray without ceasing. And then in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Everything. Do you notice it? Do you see it? I mean, we always, without ceasing, in everything we're to give thanks. And we've been talking about just when you look at the Scripture and you look at especially the Gospels, every time the word Eucharisteo, thanksgiving, is spoken, a miracle happens. And you see that not only just with the word Eucharisteo, giving thanks, but when you see people praising God in the midst of very hard circumstances. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the children of Israel who heard that there's this great army coming against them. And they're coming to stay, okay? They're coming to defeat them, and there's like three or four nations coming. And what they do is they stand before God and they cry out to Him and they say, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on You. And then the prophet gets up and says, hey, this is not your fight. Just go where their battlefield is, and as you go, worship. Praise Him. You don't need your bows and arrows. You don't need your spears. You don't need your catapults. You don't need your chariots and horses. You just go into it and march into it with praise. And all of a sudden, the fear's gone. All of a sudden, the anxiety's gone. There's this faith in Christ because of what the prophet said, what the Word of God says. And so when they get to it, they realize that the nations have just beat up each other, killed each other, turned on each other. And I'm telling you this again because they came to stay, to conquer, to do evil things that these people do when they take people captivity. They were here to stay, and the Bible says that it took them 3 days to get all their stuff and claim it for themselves. Supernatural things happen when you thank God for everything, in everything, for everything. It's a bold move. Doesn't make sense to the mind. Doesn't make sense to the flesh. Thank God for that. Come on. Well, we talked last week about Romans 8:28, right? Refrigerator verse. Got it on our refrigerator. And what is Romans 8:28 says? It says, and we know. There's no uncertainty about this knowledge. We know that God... Now watch this, is causing, here it is again, all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. So here's the thought. When I'm in the midst of a trial, when I'm in the midst of a hardship, when things are going good, when things are going great, when things are going bad, I default to thank You. In praise. Why? Why? Because if God is truly causing all things to work together, I want to have a show of hands. How many of you believe that scripture? He's working it all out. Look at you. It just makes sense. If He's working all things out for our good, then we can thank Him for all things. I didn't do this last week, but I want to do it right now. I want you to bow with me in prayer for just a moment. This is not the invitation. I want you to think about something. The all things. I want you right now just to name something that's just really good going on in your life. I just want you to name it in your heart. Now thank him for it. Because he's using that to fulfill his purposes in your life. Now that's an easy thank you. Think about your salvation. The moment you believed. And you died, and you were buried, and you were raised to walk in a newness of life. Thank him for that. Praise him for that. Right now. Right here. That's really easy. Simple. To get my eye off the flesh and onto the Spirit of God. All things. Some of you are going through some hardship right now. Matter of fact, all of us are having some kind of hardship. It may be small in the grand scheme of what's happened in your life, or it might be huge. If you believe that he's working those things together for his good, his purpose for your life, which is, when we move on to the next passages, it's to conform you into the image of Christ, to justify you, to sanctify you, to glorify you, then certainly you can thank him for that. And I'm asking you to do that right now. Thank you for this season, what I'm facing next week. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are working it all out for my good. I see it in Scripture, but I know it because I can look back at all the things that were hard, all the things that were difficult, all the things that left me alone, the betrayal, the cheating, the words spoken to me, the things done to me. I look back and I say, you worked it out then. You'll work it out now. So I thank you for it. I thank you in it. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you'd birth within us a faith to truly believe in the scriptures that we've been looking at the last 3 weeks. A church that gives you thanks in everything, for everything, because we have this faith to know that God, that we look back and we saw you work it out. And then we saw you work it out for our good. And it was hard. It was difficult. Some of it was loss. Some of it was just the threat of loss. Some of it was disease. Some of it was sickness and all these things. But you worked it out, because I'm still standing on the rock, Jesus. Therefore, I thank you today, Father, for this kind of movement in our lives. Because when we look at Scripture, Lord, we see it with our eyes. We see it on the page, that people thank you, and you do great and mighty things. Maybe not immediately, maybe it takes months, maybe it takes years, but we know you're at work. And so we give thanks to you in all things. And I pray for every single person in this place, every single person listening right now to this, that you would birth within a people a spirit of gratefulness that trusts you in everything. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, I think about the scripture in Luke chapter 17 where 10 lepers are healed. They're on their way to see the priest. They all get healed. One returns and the scripture says, oh, your faith has saved you. Thank Jesus for the healing and then get saved. I look at the scripture of Jonah in Jonah 2:9. After 3 days in the belly of a fish, he finally gives thanks and the fish vomits him out to the shore and Nineveh becomes worshipers of God. I look at scripture like John chapter 11 at the tomb of Lazarus who's been dead for 4 days and he gives thanks and the miracle of resurrection comes. I want you to notice something about this scripture in 1 Thessalonians. He says that this is God's will for you. I don't know what kind of persuasion of faith that you have, but this is the word. This is God's will for your life in these moments. You know, it's interesting because in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5 through 9, and if you have your Bibles, turn there for just a moment. We're just going to be there just a moment. Hebrews 10 is speaking of Jesus, this better high priest, this better Savior, this better Lord, this better God. Okay. And the Bible says in chapter 10, verse 10, actually, we want to look at verse 5. Well, verse 4. It is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. In other words, sacrifice just never, ever takes care of sin. You can do all the sacrifice, all the deeds you want to do all your life, and it never takes care of sin. When he comes into the world, that's Jesus, he says, sacrifice and offering you've not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have never taken pleasure in. I mean, he's already said, listen, they're reminded year after year after year of on the Day of Atonement of sacrificing all these animals. They never took away sin. Oh, it dealt with something in the moment, but they had to come back next year, and they had to come back the next year, and for thousands of years, it's to keep coming back. And it was a reminder, a sinner. And he says, look, I take no pleasure in that. And then I said, that's Jesus. Behold, I've come in the scroll of the book it's written of me. Watch. To do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you've not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I've come to do your will. Now watch, he takes away the first in order to establish the second. No, verse 10, really important. By this will of God, the will that I'm coming to give my life as the ultimate sacrifice, by that will, God's will sanctify, which means make you holy, make you at one with Jesus, and conform you into the image of Jesus from glory to glory. By that will, where Jesus lives this perfect sacrifice, as his perfect life, as the Lamb of God who takes away the will of the sins of the world. I come to do your will. But you know what's interesting? In Luke chapter 22, 39, after the Lord's Supper, he goes to the garden and he prays. And what does he pray? Oh God, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Three times. I always like to think about it in terms of Jesus realizing, well, not realizing, he's known it from the foundation of the world because he's God, but for one moment there'll be a separation of the Godhead. So, Father, are you sure there's no other way? Do I have to suffer that? They can beat me. They can punch me. They can put crowns of thorns. They can mock me. But oh God, in a moment I'm going to tell you, or this feels like a moment, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will. Because your will sanctify people until I come back. And for 2,024 years, maybe a little less, he's been doing that. Amen? 2024, where we are, about to be 2025, and he's still saving, and he's still delivering, and he's still taking away the strongholds of sin, and he's still making us like Jesus. by that suffering that he says, I've come to do your will. And then in the garden with such great anguish to say, if there's any other way. But there is no other way. That's why when we come to this Lord's Supper table and we come to Luke chapter 22, verse 14, when we look at this whole thing that he does about the body and the blood of Jesus, he's thanking God for the sacrifice of his body and his blood. Thanking him for it. It's the ultimate thanksgiving. It's the ultimate Eucharisteo. That's why one faith calls it the Eucharist, the Thanksgiving. We celebrate the Thanksgiving meal today. Not in there, but right here. We take bread and we take juice that symbolizes the body that was broken and the blood that was shed for your salvation. And we thank him for it. Because that's what he did he not? I mean, look at the passage with me, just quick. I know it's familiar. We talk about this at least four times a year when we have Lord's Supper. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I'll never eat of it until it's fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You know, it's 2024, and he hasn't eaten this again because he's waiting for you and me. What a great God. What a great king. What kind of king would do this? He's still waiting. For the hour of the Father says, now, go get my people and bring them to me. And then in those days after, we will eat of this meal together with Jesus in the flesh, the new flesh. And that's why we celebrate it. And that's why we thank him. Because he's done this great work through his salvation. And when he had taken the cup, he'd given thanks, and he said, take this, share this cup among yourselves. For I say to you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the kingdom of God comes. And when he had taken some bread, he'd given thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, and he said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of the one who's betraying me. It is with me, or with mine, on the table. For indeed, the Son of Man is going, as it has been determined. But woe to that man whom he is, that man by whom he is betrayed. Again, Eucharisteo, I thank you for this body. I thank you for this bread. I thank you for this blood. And then in the most unique, powerful way, he'll thank God for the cross, the beating, what happens to his body, his spilt blood. Why? For the joy of the Lord set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. Do you know what he's doing at the right hand of the Father? He's praying for you right now. He's interceding. Romans 8. Keep reading Romans 8. But he's also making his enemies a footstool. Think about that. Think about the first time we see any kind of description of Messiah's foot. Genesis 3:15. Going to crush you on the head. That's what he does at the cross. And when we come to this meal, we're celebrating that. We're celebrating what he did at the cross. And I want you to see a couple of things, and I can't help but just do this every time. You're going to take a piece of bread, and you're going to take a cup, okay? And when that time comes, we'll have some music, and then when you're ready to come, you'll come. You'll come with your family. You'll come with a friend. You'll come with somebody else's family. It doesn't matter. And you'll come up and you'll get it. You'll either go back to your place, or some of you just kind of stay up here in the area, and you'll take it together at that moment, not at one moment, but just as soon as you're ready, as a family or as people doing it together. And you're going to take this bread, and the scripture says you're going to proclaim his death. What does that mean? It means I'm confessing that this is what the body of Jesus did for me. And he did two significant things. The first you find in Isaiah chapter 53. The Bible says that he bore, now watch this, he bore your griefs and your sorrows on his body. He carried it away. There's some of us in here dealing with grief. There's some of us dealing with sorrow. And although no one can tell you how long you can grieve, don't let anybody put that on you. One of the things that I want to say when you take this bread today, that you would say in faith, God, all that sorrow, all that pain, all that grief, you bore it on the cross. You took it on your body. And I thank you for it. But not only that is he took your sin. He bore your sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 35. And he says this, for you've been called to this purpose, brethren. Since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, and there was no deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. And he himself, watch, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. So watch, for by his wounds, his stripes, the nails, and his hands and feet, and the sword at plunged into his side, by those wounds, he healed that which was permanent. And that is that sinful nature, the wounding that took place in Adam and Eve when they were wounded and sin entered the world. It's at the cross where he did the will. And at that will, we get to be sanctified. Would God birth within you a faith today? Listen to me, beloved. Would God birth within you a faith today to believe that all my pain was carried by him? That gives me the power, gives me the unction, gives me the faith to deal with it now so it no longer defines me, but his healing defines me. All the pain that came because of my own sin, all my own darkness, where I can't forgive myself, he bore it. And then all the stuff done to us, done to you, he dealt with it. And he took it so that you would no longer be defined or yoked to the things that God did, or that people did to you. It's good news. It's the gospel that God can take my pain away, that God can take, well, I don't think there's any Christian that I've ever met who has a problem with believing that he took my sin on the body. But oh, we struggle with this pain thing. We struggle with these things done to us. You don't mean to tell me, Pastor Mike? You're telling me that not only my sin, but my pain, folks, that's what it says in Scripture. That's what it says in your Bible. Will I believe that today when I take this? Will I come to him in a manner of faith that is worthy unto the Lord? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So I want to believe this, and I want to ask, Lord, would you birth within us a faith to believe this at this Lord's Supper table? So we're not taking it rote, or just haphazardly. This is how we proclaim the Lord's death in our life. And we're saying, that death is effectual in my life. And although I may not see it fully, I believe it fully. Will you believe that today? When he took the cup, he gave thanks. He says, this is my blood of the new covenant. It's my blood. And you know what happens? Not only does he bear the sin, he removes the sin. He cleanses you. He forgives you. He's redeemed you. It's the redemption price that he's paid. It's like you're on the slave block and Satan owns you and he says, oh, I'm buying him. I'm buying her today. I'm redeeming it. Well, what are you going to pay for it? My blood. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Forgiven by the blood of the Lamb. Made to be holy by the blood of the Lamb. Victorious by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12, 11 says they overcame them because of the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. But I want to tell you folks, one of the greatest things about the blood is that we have confidence to enter into the holy place. Hebrews 10, verse 19. We have confidence to enter in to the holy place of our great God. So when I take this cup today, it's the new covenant. And I'm going to tell you this right now. God never, ever, ever violates his covenant. What he promises, he does. It's the covenant. It's a promise. And he never breaks it. And it's a wonderful thought about what our destiny truly, truly is. Now I want to do something really quickly here. Because this body and blood of Jesus not only saves us for eternity, it begins to work right now. And what I think about it is that the will of God is to bring us back to oneness with God. I mean, that's the thing that Jesus prayed in the garden. In John 17, he said, Lord, make them one as we're one. The will of God is that you be one with God. That you be one in your marriage. That you be one with your church. That's how people know we love God. It's because we're one. And the whole thought is God going to make us one again? Where we can get back into fellowship with him and be one with him. And I want to ask you, do you feel one with him? He said, why? He said feel. Because there's something about the spiritual movements of God. Do you see? Do you believe? Do you know that you're one with God? And is it being walked out in every area of life? He died so that you might be brought back to God. To be made one with him. That's fellowship. And that's what I'm believing today. I'm believing that Jesus comes to heal the broken heart. Comes to take the sin away. That comes to take the pain away. That comes to restore broken relationships. That's what he comes to do. Well, I believe that today. When I say, I'm doing this in remembrance of him. You know, Jesus goes to the cross. And it's interesting, he says seven things. And I just believe that the way Jesus died is the way we're to live. Because the Bible says that our worship is offering our bodies a living and holy sacrifice, which is our reasonable service of worship. We imitate him. We follow in his footsteps. You know, I just to go really quickly, because it's in your notes, and I'm going to be doing the series for Easter, Seven Last Words of Jesus. But I want you to think the first word, Jesus, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Very first thing he does is forgives. After the beating. After the punches in the face. After the crown of thorns, oh God, forgive them. The way we live, it's the way of forgiveness. And the way we live is we're going to choose to be forgiving, just like our God and Savior did. We're going to walk in forgiveness. We're going to position ourselves to forgive, to release. We're not going to let that carry on for 5 years or 5 months or 5 days. Even in the worst of circumstances. Do you remember the next word? There's two thieves and they're cussing them. And they're both cussing, the scripture says. And at some point, one of them says, "Hey, get down from here and save us too." And I believe with all my heart that this other one experienced the forgiveness, because his heart changes. And he says, "Will you believe? Today, will you remember me?" And he says, and Jesus says, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." How do we live that way? How do we live the way of salvation? Well, we make it our aim to make sure everybody we know and love gets saved, so that we can be together with them in paradise. We proclaim the forgiveness of God as a gift, and we lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I make it my aim, I make it my desire to fill heaven with the people who come in contact. Third word, behold your son, behold your mother. He doesn't do that to his real brothers. He does that to John. And he's saying, "John, will you take care of my mom?" I think about this because I think it's the way of relationship. It's the way of order. And so the way we live is we make sure our life and our relationships and our stuff and our things and our money and our hearts and our minds, watch, are in order. Is your life in order today? Is it in order with the Lord? Is it in order with your spouse? Is it in order with your parents? Is it in order with your friends? Is it in order with the Church of the Living God? Fourth word, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the way of sacrifice. And I want to live in a world, I want to live in this world knowing the great price he paid for me. That's where I get my thanksgiving. That's where I get my praise. He was forsaken for me so that he would say, "I'm with you always and I will never ever forsake you." Fifth word, I'm thirsty. The Bible says that we are to hunger and thirst for righteousness. So we spend our lives thirsting for eternal things and living water. I see some of you taking sips right now. Is that okay? Did you just get thirsty? Are we thirsty for God? Are we thirsty and hungry for him? And we live for his righteousness. That's what we do. The next word. It's finished. It's the way of triumph. I want to live my life so that when I come to the end of my life, I finish strong. You know, I read there's a couple of kings in Scripture. One of them was Joash. The Bible says that he followed the Lord in his youth, but did evil in his old age. He didn't finish strong. He came to the throne when he was 7 years old. His priest was his uncle, his aunt's husband. And he hid him for 6 years in the temple. And then did the coup and put him on the throne. And for 30 years, Jehoiada, the king, the priest, discipled him, and he did what was right. But then his uncle dies. And princes of Judah come in and say, flatter him. And he goes with them and he abandons the Lord. He abandons the Lord. He didn't finish strong. He listened to the culture. He listened to the flattery. He listened to the instruction, unbiblical instruction. And he went a different way, which was not God's way. It is finished. The battle's over. I fought the fight, kept the faith. Will you finish well by enduring today? And then the seventh word, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And I just think, and when I look at that, I just think, I want to commit everything into his hands right now, right here. I want to commit my life as a man, a husband, and as a grandfather. My life as a pastor to you, a friend. Say, God, I want to commit my finances. I want to commit my stuff, my things into your hands. Because I know when I let him make the choice in my life, it's always better. How Jesus died is how he lived. And how we live is how we'll die. And I just want to say this. Would you leave for this place after this Lord's Supper to say, I'm going to live the rest of my life for him? Not for my flesh, not for all this other stuff, but I'm going to live for him. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Father, I want to thank you for this supper. I'm going to ask the elders that I've spoken to some elders about, if you guys would come on up with your wives. So, if your wife's here. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that as we walk with you today through this, I ask that your Holy Spirit would move in a mighty, mighty way. And I just ask, God, that your Spirit would just absolutely, totally, yeah, you can do those right there. Just help people with that. And I just ask, Father, that your Spirit would just come in a mighty way today. We ask that you be glorified as we take this meal together and as we rejoice in what he did for us. Lord, I thank you that today we celebrate this, got to celebrate some baptisms, and then we celebrate a Thanksgiving meal afterwards together. I just ask that you bless this time. And Father, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.